Psalm 119:68 from the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses. And verse 68 talks about you are good and what you do is good. So it is good stuff. And Jason Kanz is on the line with us today. Best 5 minutes of the day from jasonkanz.com and his home in Eau Claire. Good morning, friend.
Good morning. Glad to hear you.
Yeah, good to talk to you.
When I hear that you are good and what you do is good, it always brings you to mind. I've heard you pray that over and over again, and it's such an important thing for us to remember.
Well, as long as we start there, and that was the song, and I said thank you, I've subsequently will frequently then pray, but that doesn't, and the but doesn't mean I don't believe that, but it just means I've learned in a few years that Isaiah 55:8-9 is also in the really long book called the Bible, and that his ways are not ours, his thoughts are not ours, his ways and thoughts are so much higher. So while he is good, it's not always going to feel like that, okay?
Yeah. Right on. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's very important for us to remember, because any of us who are living in the world recognize that it doesn't feel like it should feel. Something's amiss.
Yeah. I mean, if you've got cancer and you need to go have chemo and you may not understand that. You wouldn't, but, you know.
Right.
And I think there's work he's doing, and we'll use that as the jumping off point to talk about that. My wife and I have been married for almost 261 months. I know that because it's close to 22 years, and if you do the math, we've been married 20 years, it's 240 months. And so she gets, you know, people are like, how could you know the number of months? Anyhow, it's been... I mean, in different ways, I mean, I think we're as good maritally in terms of our relationship. I think it's almost as good as ever. And yet I can still feel insecure. And I'm just thinking of Neil Anderson kind of built his reputation on this concept about who are you in Christ, saying that understanding your identity in Christ is absolutely essential to your success at living the victorious Christian life. But He would boil it down to three, and I have a bunch of Bible verses behind. I am accepted, I am secure, and I am significant. And of those, I have long time grappled with secure, and even I'd say, even in these last 24 to 36 hours, just going, you know what? What's up? Like, when I feel insecure, how can I feel secure and insecure toward my wife and toward God at the same time? Like, I feel like I'm a walking two sides of a coin.
Yeah, you know, I think that's true of most of us, is that we live with this disconnection where we understand something, but we may not feel it. My suspicion, my guess, because I know this for myself as well, is the notion that that there's that cognitive understanding, the knowing. But when you think about the idea of biblical knowing, it's more intimate, it's more emotional. And I think sometimes we feel disconnected from that part, that deeply relational part of us. And I think that's one of the great tasks as believers, is to continue to wrestle through and pray for belief in those things. Again, not just cognitively, but truly and in our hearts, what Eric Johnson would call cartatively.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I think in terms of a lot of times I'll come out of playing the 24-second clip from Brennan, which we'll play again this morning, and say, Lord, we believe, help us in our unbelief, right?
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think for, not to go completely psychological, but I think, you know, the experiences that we bring to our adulthood are a lot of times grounded in developmental stuff. What, you know, where did our security come from then? Was it unsteady? You know, and for many of us, that's the case, that we've had unsteady backgrounds. And it's hard to feel secure when that's happening. And we carry that forward then into how we live and relate as adults.
Well, tell you what, you know, he's got, Anderson has, I'm looking at this, one of these handouts in terms of who am I, accepted, secure, and significant. So maybe we can spend the next few times together going over some of the Bible verses having to do with security. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that's a good idea, because it's not just you. I think that's a common common Christian experience is that believing that what Jesus says about us.
Right, and I think that beyond you know the all of the challenges in our inner life, hello to the outer life, and that's pretty unstable. That seems pretty insecure these days, right?
Indeed, yeah. Absolutely, these days for sure, that seems to be the case. So,
well, thank you. Your voice is a calming one that people like hearing in the morning, and it helps us feel a little bit more secure. So, thank you.
Very good. I'm glad to be here again. As you had said earlier, that being mm-hmm. on the other end of the line, this for me as well is just a great touchstone every day.
Thank you, friend. All right, Jason Kanz. Check out his website, jasonkanz.com. Friend him on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter. All right, Doc Kanz.
I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country. I'm gonna eat me a lot of peaches.
I do love me some peaches.
I'm moving to the country.
So much.
Had one yesterday.
Did you?
It's very juicy. You gotta watch it if you like have it at your. I like to, you know,
yeah.
Eat and work and eat. And
oh, yeah.
You gotta. The peach juice, right?
I yes. mean, that's.
Yes.
Keyboard yes. or on a sheaf of papers.
It's like, get out the napkins.
They're delicious.
Yeah, they are very good.
Well, it's kind of peach season right now. You know, they're coming of age, if you will, and ripening. And, you know, my husband always loves it. He says that I do these things on the hottest day of the year. And I would say it's pretty safe to bet that today's going to be the hottest day of the year thus far in the 90s with a heat advisory and, mm-hmm. you know, feels like temperatures over 100. So guess what I'm going to do today, friends?
Buy peaches.
Oh, I bought the peaches 2 days ago. They're ripe
and
ready. I'm canning peaches.
Yeah.
The hottest thing I can do today on the hottest day of the year. And it's going to be spectacular.
Triple digit heat index. And
now, where do you do that?
In my kitchen, in my house.
Now, your house is air conditioned.
Yeah, I can't keep up with this, though. I'll tell you that right now.
So I don't know about what makes it so hot.
Yeah. Okay, so first you got to boil large amounts of
okay.
water.
All right.
Copious amounts.
And you put the peaches in, you know, a container, your sink, whatever, and you pour the boiling water over the peaches and let them sit in the boiling water for a bit, mm-hmm. till you can tell they're just right. And then you got to skin the peaches, and you have to make a hot, light syrup, I prefer, or honey syrup. So that's the stove going, making syrup, which creates steam as well. And then you got to have your canner going, and you have to, like, pressure can them, which also creates copious amounts of heat and steam.
And then how many will you get? How many cans will you get?
I don't know. I bought like a case of peaches, so I'm kind of holding off. The peach truck was around mm-hmm. the other day, so I bought a case and a half, actually. So I'm hoping to get a bunch of cans, but I'm also going to make some peach sauce and some peach jam, and they're going to be coming back. So if I don't get enough peaches right now, I
just
shall
get
be
more later.
Getting more
is
later.
Is this all for the Roth family, or do you share it as gifts? Or
I have shared as gifts in the past. So, yeah, I think you've received some of my hand-canned
literal sweat equity will be yes. going into this.
Yeah, I'll try
sure.
not to drip the sweat into mm-hmm. the peaches, but yes.
Hopefully no blood.
Natural flavors.
And very minimal tears, but maybe
yes.
from the heat.
But, yeah, my husband always loves that on the hottest day of the year,
there we go.
I'm going to heat up the house and mm-hmm. cook things. What else would I do? When else would I do my peaches? I can't do this in
yeah.
December. Can't get peaches like
all
this
right,
in December.
Well.
So, some fun to be had today at the Roth House. It's going to be steamy.
Ah, there's a lot in a name. What do you name your son? What do you name your cat? Turns out in America, the most popular cat name is the third most popular male boy name currently.
Really?
Second question, second time in this hour, I've asked you guys a question. What is it, do you think?
It's not. I don't know. I keep thinking like Ethan, Tom, Liam. Caleb said Liam.
Okay,
Liam,
it starts yeah. with an O.
Owen.
Opie.
I'm not thinking of any.
All right.
Oh, Oscar.
Boy. It is Oliver.
Oh, okay.
It is the most popular cat name. It's the third most popular male baby name.
Huh.
Well, that's so interesting because I don't know any cats named Oliver, but I do know one boy named
yeah,
Oliver.
Yeah, I know a very fine young man named
yes.
Oliver. He's
and I too,
Cooper's,
I'm remembering so. Matt and Emily Schweitzer. They've moved out of the area now, but yeah, their oldest of five
really?
Is Oliver. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. I guess I know an Oliver, but I don't think of it as a popular name, mm-hmm. you know?
I do not know any cats named Oliver, but I don't tend to make acquaintances with cats as much as I do.
I'm not real tight with the cat crowd either.
Well, speaking of choosing names, a new study finds that parents are faced with 1,768 difficult decisions in their baby's first year, and just one of those almost 1,800 decisions is choosing a name. The most difficult decision of all, according to this survey in the first year of parenting, 37% of parents said, yeah, choosing the name
is the most difficult.
It's very interesting between the spouses. We've talked about it before.
Yeah.
But so many other decisions, everything from figuring out childcare to, you know, are you breastfeeding? Are you using formula?
Yeah.
Where the baby sleeps? Decorating a nursery if you have that.
Here's what I was going to say. Like, I understand, like, I completely agree. Choosing a name, like, breast versus bottles, figuring out childcare, like, those are hard decisions. But I was really kind of surprised that decorating the nursery was on there. Because to me, that was like...
I think that was a very secondary consideration.
It was fun, but it wasn't like, I mean, they say like choosing the right pediatrician falls below decorating the nursery. And I thought that was like really high on my list, is choosing the right care providers, you know, healthcare providers. Interesting.
That's interesting how close to 2,000 difficult decisions just in the first year.
Just in the first year.
And I'm really sorry, parents, that actually does not go away.
It doesn't.
Yeah, right.
It does not go
away. One in five parents said their most difficult decision was how to sleep train. And, you know, I don't remember that being that difficult because I've always been pretty good at sleeping.
Yeah.
And so we didn't struggle with that too much.
No, Caleb, the baby, helping the baby to sleep through the night.
I was asleep. I don't remember how that went.
He slept through that, too, I think. That was Lindsay.
And I'm still sorry.
Parenting is a challenge. But you know what the thing is I think when you're doing the baby stuff, it's more polarizing. And people, when you're having a baby, feel like they have more input and say into your baby, you know, whereas like when they're teenagers, they're like, oh, it's not my problem where your kid goes to college because I'm not paying for it, you know. So, yeah, I think that's the difference. That's what makes it harder.
We're with you, parents.
God bless America.
We do love our nation, don't we?
There are things that make us unique.
There are.
Some of them laudable, some of them not so much, some of them just odd.
The truth. So, in honor of those oddities, if you will, we have come across the startling facts about American society and culture.
Yes. Starting with junk galore. Each American throws out about 4.4 pounds of trash per month, per week, per day.
Per day.
That means some 1.4 billion pounds of trash gets thrown away in the U.S. every day. That's pretty crazy. It hurts me. Trash day today at our house. I have to say our recycling bin is filled more than our trash bin. So,
we overdid it. All of the remnants of the fireworks overloaded. We still have some of those. That was an impressive.
The end of the night, we're just like, everybody, let's clean this up here.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. Appreciative of
that. Meanwhile, 7% of Americans, 7% believe that the moon landing was faked.
Really?
Still?
Wow.
7%.
Okay. We're standing not quite as tall for close to 200 years, spanning the Revolutionary War period to the World War II era. Americans were amongst the tallest people in the world. Heights have leveled off, however. For around five decades, men are average 5 feet 9 inches and women 5 feet 4 inches.
I'm slightly above average.
See, I just love this because
I'm above average too.
At 6'1", I can be like, yep, there is one thing that I am above average.
You tower.
The United States, again, we're going through some startling facts or just fun facts about American society and culture. The United States has 809 motor vehicles per 1,000 people. 809 vehicles per 1,000 people. That's tops in the world, except for three tiny, very rich European nations like Monaco and San Marino and Liechtenstein.
Good for them.
There we go. And finally, this is not a proud stat either. The United States incarcerates more people than any other country on the planet. Currently, we have 2.3 million people behind bars. That works out to be about 25% of the total global population of those who are imprisoned.
That's why I love like Good News Jail and Prison Ministry and the Penn Project and what 513 Free was doing.
Very
and all
cool.
that to because this is an issue to have such a huge incarceration rate too, and so to be able to give hope and a chance at change.
Great documentary on that on Netflix called The 13th. Check it out. Give it a watch.
Kind of doubt this one normally gets played, but we're talking fashion and men's fashion.
Men's fashion.
I am anything but an expert here, so we'll go to the interwebs.
It's a hotly debated subject in our house. My poor husband's surrounded by all of us females. Yeah,
and
there's
that's
much and great discussion.
From whence this information comes, the survey on men's fashion, not surveying men, but surveying women. Some 4,000 women say, guys, you need to stop doing this. It's not necessarily, here's what you should wear. It's just, hey, stop wearing that.
Yeah.
So
it's what you shouldn't wear. Just stop.
From the ladies, men's fashion don'ts for summer. They say, don't wear the tank tops.
Don't wear the tank tops.
Just skip it.
Correct. Sandals with socks. Really?
I did that as a kid.
Yeah.
I haven't done it as much now, but I definitely did it when I was a kid.
Don't do it.
Yeah. Men's fashion don'ts, according to women, don't wear shorts that fall too far above the knee. I know that's maybe a little bit of the hipster style at times,
yeah. Also, don't wear shorts that fall too far below the knee.
Get a belt, pull them up.
That's all good.
Another, shorts are a popular topic here. Again, men's fashion don'ts for summer, according to women. Don't wear the blue jean shorts, they say. And again, a lot of these, I'm looking back in my youth.
In your youth?
I wore a lot of blue jean shorts.
Well, the fashion changes as well. Yeah, I have blue jean shorts. Is that a bad? I really, really want listener feedback for this. I'm a mom. Is this a mom thing? Like, because I have some denim shorts. They're cute. I like them. Whatever. Mm. I don't know if I should wear them. Khaki carpenter pants and cargos. I think it's the khakis they're going for here. But one woman said nobody needs that many pockets. I'm going to tell you right now, Matt.
I firmly disagree.
I'm going to tell you right now. It's a jealousy issue amongst women. Because do you know our pants and shorts and skirts and skorts, they don't have pockets. It's a jealousy issue. Why should you all get 8 pockets in your things and we get none?
It's like when God made the kangaroo and one of the angels is like, hey, that's really cute.
It comes with
pockets. And the Lord's like, yeah, it has pockets.
Yeah.
I just firmly disagree because I love my cargo shorts and my carpenter shorts, and I love the pockets.
Yeah.
Men's fashion don'ts for summer. Again, these not from us. These from women. Mm-hmm. Survey 4,000 women. Baseball caps. One woman said, hey, after a man turns 25, unless he's outside or actually playing baseball, he just looks juvenile.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a lot of friends who would disagree. They wear the ball cap all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think they look pretty good.
Yeah, well, but you're also younger.
I suppose.
Yeah. T-shirts with the arms ripped or cut off. Cannot more firmly agree with that.
What
don't.
About?
Just
so
don't.
I don't do that, but sometimes I will continue to wear my undershirts even when they get a big hole in the armpit.
Sure.
And my wife is like, why are you wearing that? It's like, well, it's still good for a little while.
Good.
And then the final one, I don't get this.
I don't get this one either.
It says male fashion don'ts for summer, according to women, off the rack, clunky sneakers. I do not understand that because everything I wear is off the rack.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's probably off the rack at Goodwill sometimes too.
Yeah, I don't understand the off the rack, clunky sneakers.
That seems
unless
a little
they're the
pretentious,
sneakers
ladies.
That are like, you know, Velcro or
here's
something.
Here's the thing, and you can weigh in on this, friends, at 715-396-1670 on our WIB listener line. Is it really the matter of off the rack sneakers? I don't think ladies care as much.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's how long and how putrid.
Yeah.
The sneakers are like, how long they've been around, because I tend to wear shoes in my house until they are literally falling apart or get big holes in them, and then they become my mowing shoes.
See, they're mowing shoes in our house before they fall apart or get the holes in them.
Okay.
That's,
see, yeah. If the sole actually departs, then I probably will say, okay, I got to get some different ones for mowing the lawn. But generally speaking, there's a life cycle for shoes.
There is.
When they can't be worn in public, they can be worn to mow the lawn.
I do agree with that.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn Radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.